Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your spirit that you've richly given to us through the works of redemption. We yield to him this day as we dispense forth your truth. May this truth permeate the souls of men, transforming and establishing them in the reality of who we are in Christ Jesus. We bless and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want us to look at the firstborn offering. And this is a very common word, and we've gone around seeing a lot of teachings or conversations about firstborn. But I want us to look at it on scriptural basis. It's a term that is majorly used in the Old Testament. And we look at Exodus chapter 13. Let's read from verse 2. Exodus chapter 13. Let's just start from verse 1. We shall read all the way to verse 13. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever opened the womb among the children of Israel, both of a man and of a beast, is mine. Look at that. God is asking that Moses should sanctify all the firstborn. And you find that he's actually saying, what does he mean, or what does he intend, his intentions with the word firstborn. And we find that he's categorically telling us that sanctify unto me all the firstborn. And this is a place where an instruction is given about what to do with the firstborn, because initially you find that when the word firstborn is being used in Genesis 10:15, is just mentioning a genealogy, and Canaan begets Sidon, his firstborn, and Heath, so the first person or the first of the womb. That is what Exodus is explaining to us, the first. And the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, Genesis chapter 19, verse 31. And there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. And you find the next time we hear about the firstborn, when he went to lay with her father, and they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down and when she arose. Look at that. This is a story about Lot, and Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the young, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And you find that and they made the father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when he lay down, and nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bore a son and called him Moab, the same is the father of Moabites unto these days. And the younger she also bare a son and called him Ben-Ammi, the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. So the Ammonites and the Moabites are children of Lot, through the daughters. But that's not the discussion today. I'm just speaking where it is first mentioned about sons, firstborn. But now go back to our conversation here where God is giving Moses instructions. Sanctify unto me, Exodus 13 verse 3, sanctify unto me all the firstborn whatsoever open the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and the beast, is mine. Then we jump directly to verse 10. Says, thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in this season from year to year, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaanites, and he swore unto thee and to thy father, and shall give it to thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every fastling that comes of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be of the Lord's, and every fastling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among my children shall thou redeem. Look at those instructions that God, Moses is getting and giving. And Moses took, verse 19, the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and the camp in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. So it is important for us to see this, that when Moses is getting instructions, say sanctify. So the practice of firstborn offering was given to the children of Israel by Moses, and it was related to man and cattle. It was very specific. You shall sanctify man and cattle, man and flock. So it was very specific. It was very specific, because the other place God is saying to, and thou shalt say to Pharaoh, that's the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So he was relating, Israel is the firstborn, but now he's giving specific instruction in verse 11, and all the firstborn in the land of shall die from the firstborn of Pharaoh and that sits upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maid son that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts, for I will pass through the land. So this is a place where God is killing firstborns to deliver Israelites. Then he's giving instruction, and in this instruction, sanctify unto me all the men. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, sorry, whatsoever open the womb among the children of Israel, both man and the beast. So the specific instruction for the sanctification of the firstborn was both man and the beast. Leviticus 27 verse 26, only the firstling of the beast which should be the Lord's firstling, no man shall sanctify it, whether it be ox or sheep, it is the Lord's. So we have to understand, why was this practice given? And this practice, you find that is coming immediately in after the deliverance or the firstborn of Israel, of Egypt, being killed by the angel of death, Exodus chapter 12 verse 29. And it came to pass that at midday the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. So this instruction, it was for a memory for the death of the Egyptians' firstborn, from which the Israelites were exempted from the general disaster. And this practice literally involved offering firstborn of men and cattle unto God. Sanctify this. This was very, very specific. So this disaster that happened in Israel affected the Egyptians, but the Jews were exempted. Look at Exodus 13, verse 13. And every firstling of the earth thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shall thou redeem, and shall be when thy son ask thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand of the Lord brought us out of from Egypt, from the house of bondage. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man, the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that opens the matrix, being males, but all that firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thy hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. So these instructions were specific. They were doing it as a memorial, or as a reminder of what happened in Egypt. And he says, it shall come to pass when you shall be asked by your son. Verse 14, when thy son asked you in time to come. So it was a practice that it was proceeding into the next generation. When the sons ask you, you shall tell them this. So when you tell the sons this, they will also practice with understanding. So it became a practice in memory of what Jesus, or what God, had done for them in Egypt. So when you look at that, it was to tell their sons what happened in Egypt, and that is how God delivered them, and that is why they were practicing so. The memorial will be to the generations, to remind their sons, the generations to come, of what God had done. Let's look at Numbers chapter 3, verse 43. And this is to help us understand something here. Let's look at verse 42. How was this offering practiced? Let's look at Numbers chapter 3, verse 42. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names, for from a month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them, were 22,213. And the Lord spoke unto us, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. So there was a substitution there. Take the Levites. And I want you to go to Numbers chapter 18, verse 14. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that opens the matrix in all flesh which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beast, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shall thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts shall thou redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shall thou redeem according to thy estimation, for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. Look at that. And the firstborn offering, the firstborn males of men and animals, were brought to the temple. Remember what we've just read here, that instead of, God is instructing Moses, instead of taking the firstborn, take the Levites. Take the Levites, Numbers chapter 3, verse 43. Let's go back there. Let's look at verse 44. Thank you, Jesus. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded, all the firstborn among the children, and all the firstborn males by the number of the names from month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them, were 22,213. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the liver shall be mine, and I the Lord. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 firstborn of children, which are more than the livers, thou shalt even take 5 shekels of piece of spoil, and after the shekel of the sanctuary thou shalt take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs, and thou shalt give the money wherein the odd number of them is to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money of them that were over and above them, that they were redeemed by the Levites. So this is a process. There was a redemption of man with money. That is, rather than putting human beings as an offering, money was used in his stead. There was a substitution. And that is what is Moses clarifying when you read Numbers chapter 44, 45, 46, 47. The money given in exchange was 5 shekels, which was 20 gerahs. And when you look at that, you find it is a very big, ambiguous amount. And when you want to convert that as a redemption entity now in this current age, it will be beyond the capacity of most of the people who go to ministry or go to church. The firstlings of males of their herd and flock without blemish were to be offered to the Lord. Deuteronomy 15:19. All the firstlings males that come of thy herd and of thy flock thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not do work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose. Thou shalt behold the animals with blemish were to be eaten like common food. It was a practice. It was like common food. You can, when you read Deuteronomy chapter 15, this was strictly a Jewish practice. The essence of this practice was Moses' way to remind them of what happened in the land of Egypt. This was Moses' way of letting them see how they were liberated and put in freedom. And this was one way of constantly putting this reminder, this experience in their conscience. And Paul is teaching us in the book of 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out thereof the old even, that ye may be a new lamb as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Just like the Passover feast, Christ has been sacrificed for us, and he is our Passover. And Peter is also 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 to 19. For as much you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with precious blood of Christ Jesus, of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter here is nullifying the traditions of the father regarding redemption of them from Egypt. He's nullifying that practice, that the believer is not redeemed by the things that are perishable, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And this word precious is expensive. That is the same when you look at when they were using money to redeem that 5 shekels, and which is 20 gerahs. In today's currency, it will be a very relevant amount. That is why it is the precious blood of Jesus. So Peter is saying the believer has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And that is what the writer of Hebrews is writing. Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having been a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those practices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then will they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once part should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is no remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So the sacrifices out under the law brought sin consciousness, And that is why the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 12, the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gives attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. You know, when you read some scriptures in the light of scriptures, and I listen to people, I've read great men of God books, I've read different books, I've read Pastor Chris's book, that is Pastor Christo Nainka, Christo Yakilome. I've listened to different Kenneth Hagin, Kenyon, A.W. Tozer. I've read through Bishop Oyedepo's books. I've looked at it. I've studied. I've looked at. I love reading, and one of the things that amazes me is the studiousness of these men of God, the discipline they have given themselves to study scriptures. Provokes me daily to read, provokes me daily to study, because there's a continuity of truth that has to be there, and that continuity of truth is established by you constantly reading. And Christianity is a matter of imitating. Follow me as I follow Christ. Now that you're children of God, imitate, be imitators of God, be imitators of Christ. That is the instruction Paul is giving to the church of Ephesus. And I pray today, as you look unto this about firstborn, that this practice is what, in memory of what happened in the land of Egypt. And they were to bring consciousness in them. And these practices, it was to stimulate or stir up sin consciousness. And that is why the writer of Hebrews is coming and telling us this. Peter, first of all, Hebrews tells us that these practices were a shadow of these things to come. And now there's a change for the priesthood being changed. There's made of necessity for the law to be changed. And this because that practice was a shadow of things to come. And also, as believers, we've been bought up by the precious blood of Jesus. And it is evident that the tithe, first fruit, and firstborn offerings were practices under the Old Testament as an instruction of Moses. And this instruction was to the children of Israel. And that instruction to the children of Israel was to bring sin consciousness. Because Paul says, without the law, you cannot define or cannot see this is sin. But with the law helps us define sin. So it is important to know that the reason Moses brought these, because of their hardness of heart. In the beginning it was not so, Matthew 19:8. But because of your hardness of heart, Moses told you so. So the hardness of the heart of the children of Israel, their conscience had veered off from God. Because of that, because they had the gospel and they hardened their heart, the instructions was put there so that they can be able to know this is sin, define sin, and they are able to stay in line. But the Bible also says that the law could not make man perfect. So the reason why Moses gave the instruction was to perfect man. But in the end result, it did not perfect man. It made man more rebellious. Hence the reason why today you find when you are given laws, do this, do that, do this, do that, you end up being rebellious. You're doing it not because you want to, not out of volition, not out of will, but out of coercion, out of force. So the law is like a force trying to align you. And that is why he says, now there's a change of priesthood. There should be also a change of law. We are no longer under the law of flesh, but now we are under the law of the Spirit. Because the law of the flesh, when you're given to the flesh, it leads to death. So many people were dying spiritually because they were doing it out of necessity to look good, but in their hearts of hearts, they have not been aligned. Hence the reason why the grace is about the hearts. The law is about the outwardness. Glory to God. So you find these practices were constantly, specifically, of the shadow of things to come. And that shadow of the things to come was about what Jesus will do through the works of redemption. So many of those practices were symbolic. That is why the Jews could not be made perfect by the continual offering of these sacrifices for sin, by as instructed by Moses. And when you look at that, the believer does not need to be urged or cajoled to give or walk in love towards others, because you are born of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love. So followers of God, children of God, they walk in love. And because of what? Christ has loved us and has given us himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savor. So our need, what the believer needs, is the explanation, understanding of scripture in order for him to walk in his true nature, which is walking in love, and to be taught the reality of who he has become in Christ Jesus. So the identity of a believer, it is reflecting his walk or the love of the Father that he has received through the works of redemption. Philemon 5, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus Christ and towards all saints, that the communication of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So it is Paul's prayer that the acknowledgement of every good thing, our walk, our alignment to the things of God, is streamlined by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in Christ Jesus. It is through that we draw our practices. It is through that we draw our identity. It's through that we draw who we are in Jesus Christ. And that is the reality of every believer, that the law, the priesthood has changed, the law has changed. So the practices that were happening, it was a foreshadow. When that's foreshadow, the priesthood that was there before demanded that, but this new priesthood has offered a sacrifice that is eternal. Hebrews chapter 7, after when you read Hebrews chapter 7 through to Hebrews chapter 10, you'll see that clarity, that the law, having been a shadow of things to come, Colossians chapter 2 verse 17, having been a shadow of things to come, oh glory to God, that these things that were being practiced, when I look at the firstborn offering, it was because of a memory that things had happened in Egypt. So they were doing it. And they said, when the son asks you, you shall tell them, this is a testimony, this is a practice based on what God has done. When I look at the first word, I look at it was about the grain, the crops. But now Paul is bringing, and the writers of the book of the epistles are bringing to show us that the first word is about Christ, is about man. And that is about relating to the gospel. When I come to this other side, I look at that it is me imitating, being walking in love, being imitated as followers of God and walking in love. The walk of love is a generous walk. The walk of love is a giving walk. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So there is a giving that causes you to vibrate in love. For you were once dead, but now have been made alive, have been quickened, have been given life. For we have the spirit of life in us. He will quicken us. So the spirit of life in us quickened us to walk. It quickened us to walk in this reality that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in that reality, we are more than conquerors. We are givers day in, day out. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord, for your word. We glorify you, Lord, as we continue to walk in this reality, that we shall imitate and walk in the love of God, giving and administering the things of God the way we should. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.